Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up, where you can
join serial dater Phil.
That's me. And dating detoxer Liz.
That's me. Welcome to the world of online dating.
What can you expect in the Unhinged and Bumbled Up podcast?
Dating do's, don'ts and disasters.
What we and our guests would gladly chuck in the 2020 dating bin to be gone forever.
What real people really think about those tricky dating dilemmas.
Awesome dating trivia. You'll never know when it'll come in handy for that pub quiz.
Top tips and tricks from our awesome guest experts, who luckily know a little more about dating than we do.
So if you've ever had a dating disaster,
ignored the red flags,
if your dating life is less successful than the chances of us not coming back next season,
then you're in the right place. Do we know what we're talking about? No! Our dating lives are both utter shite. So join us as we talk all things dating. The good, the bad, and the... Sorry, there's just no spark.
Hello, and welcome to the final part of the season finale. If you're listening to this later on in the week and you're like, what is going on? There is 3 episodes before this. So go back and listen to them before you listen to this one. And everything will make sense. Because if you listen to this one, you'll be like, who are these people? What is this? Why? Where? How? Who? What? So go back and listen. And again, I just want to say thank you from me and Liz. For everybody that has stuck by us, listened to us, supported us, and gave us feedback, listened, you know, it means so much to us because without you guys, there would not be a podcast. Well, there might be as long as we had one listener, but thank you again and enjoy the final episode of season one. You've got one task for you. Okay.
Oh God, I'm scared.
Prepare yourself. I know it's an easy one. And actually, I might ask everybody, what is the best bit of dating or relationship advice you've ever got?
Oh, that is so tough. I actually don't know, because probably all the good advice that I ever get asked, told, I just ignore.
In one ear and out the other.
Yeah. I think the best advice... just whether someone gives it to you or you're giving the person is, I know the sound, I think that you have to, in dating, really know yourself. And I also think that a really good bit of advice I actually just gave in the podcast we just recorded, if you're getting anxiety and you're worrying about whether someone's texting you or like you're thinking about it, kind of touching on what Joe said, which is something that I can sometimes do with people, and it's a litmus test. And you're asking the questions, oh, I don't know if he's interested, and you're wondering, and or he, she are interested, and you're waiting for their text. Or another thing which I think is a massive red flag is when you send a message but you read the message over and over and over again, and you read it in different tones to yourself, and it almost becomes not how you would usually speak. Therefore, you're not being yourself and the person is not getting your true self. And I think that that is a massive litmus test of whether it's right or wrong, because usually it's wrong. And so many situations and so many times, if I am feeling anxious and getting anxiety and I'm worrying about whether the person's messaging me, reading my messages over and over again, like worrying how I'm coming across, it's never been the right person. The times where I've like, it's been easy breezy, I didn't give a shit what I'm saying, like I've 100% been myself, it's rendered the best results. And it's okay if you sound like a dick. Like, it doesn't matter, because the person, if they like you, they're not going to think you're a dick. They just won't. Like, and if you
can't keep up that level of editing long term, you can't. Either, it would be exhausting.
I double text. I don't care, because I'm like,
you need space to be a human as 100%. Well. Like, you need space to make a mistake, be a dick. Also, like, fuck off. I'm 35. I'm going to fucking double text you. Yeah. If I like you, I'm double texting you.
I don't care. I do it all the time. I triple texted this guy the other day. And he didn't give a fuck.
And also, like, sometimes a joke needs to be told in three parts, motherfucker. If you don't get the comedic pause in these three WhatsApp messages, you ain't the one for me.
Yeah, sometimes I make, you know, sometimes I'll have to, you know, see something relevant and you want to message them. And also, that's also another tell is, yeah, if you've like, if they haven't replied and you're like, you see something out that's funny and relevant to your conversation, for example, and you're thinking, oh, do you know what? I don't want to text them. Like, I think that's going to be too keen. That is not good either, because it shouldn't matter. Like, playing those kind of games will only get the worst results, because you were just not being yourself. And if someone doesn't want yourself and doesn't want that, then that's their fucking problem.
Wise words, V. Wise words.
Danny, what is the greatest dating advice you've got?
For me, greatest dating advice I ever got was, don't take things at just face value. Don't judge a book by its cover. So you can meet someone who's got the world to offer on paper, or they look great, or, you know, very superficial qualities. But if you don't like, so the things I look at, if someone's good looking and you settle down with them, their looks are going to fade. Things are going to change. They could be very well off, but they could lose all their money, or I don't know, maybe when you were younger, could have like a really nice car, or I don't, you know, those superficial qualities that really do suck people in. But realistically, if you don't like what's at the core, you're not going to go the distance. So the best relationship advice I think I ever was given was, don't take anything at face value. Don't just judge the book by its cover. See what's actually inside, because what's inside, deep down, that's what you're going to be left with for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So make sure before you make that commitment that that is what you want.
Yeah, and that you actually like them. Yeah, because
like, they could be pretty, but if you're a pretty asshole, that's going to wear thin pretty fucking quick, to be honest.
Fee's got a pretty arsehole. Yeah, bleaching.
I will after 9 days of my anal bleach.
There we go. We had to mention the anal bleach. Anyway, Joe, I'm here to keep these things going and not concentrate on
poor Phil.
Yeah.
So I really, really, really like Matthew Hussey for dating advice, and I am very reluctant to take advice from or recommend a white cishet man, but I have consumed hours and hours and hours and hours of his content, and he never disappoints. He like, yeah, I've really analyzed it, because I'm like, are you really this good, or are you just one of these fucking bro marketers? And he isn't. He actually does know his shit, and there's good substance to it. And one of the best pieces of dating advice I've ever heard is from him. And he says, and I hope I'm not going to butcher this, I should fucking know it. I've heard it and say it enough times. Re-listen to that podcast over and over again. But it is, invest in a person at the level that they are investing in you. Don't invest at the level that you like them. That's what we tend to do. We like a person, we decide how much we like them. And if we are people pleasers and codependents, usually it's a lot in a very short space of time. We invest at that very high level, and we're not actually paying attention to how much that person is investing energetically back into us. mm-hmm. we should invest, we should match their level. They give a little bit, we give a little bit. They give a bit, we give a bit. Instead of like, I like you, I'm going to give you everything. And like, oh, then you ghost me a week later. Cool. Yeah.
I honestly feel like I feel like Joe's like reached into my brain and just like is reading what's going on. I feel like I've had like a therapy session as well, just mixed in with it. I have heard that advice as well. I've heard it and ignored it, obviously. I have heard it, like all amazing advice, but I did hear it and I remember thinking that was a really good way of putting it, because it's so true. Like, I do it all the time.
This.
Can I have a minute to think? Can you do yours first?
What about you, Nell? Why didn't you answer that question? Yeah.
What about me?
Yeah, Phil.
What?
Phil. Like you're bullying us, lot.
I'm not bullying anyone. I'm just
Phil's hurrying
in the right direction. I think, what, my greatest dating advice? Block, delete, move on. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
From La La La, let me explain. Block, delete, move on. You know? Yeah. Mm. Greatest.
You gave me some quite good advice the other day when I was stressing about someone that Hinge that I hadn't met yet, and you were just like,
they're strangers at the end of the day.
Why do you even care? He's a stranger. And I was like, yeah, he is. But in my mind, because I'm a girl, and not even a girl, just because I'm a fantasist, we'd already married with two kids.
And that's why I create posts due to like you, like enjoying the moment, like not rushing 24 years ahead, getting married with two kids before you've even got on the second date.
It's different for women, I think, for straight women.
Yeah.
It is. There's so much more. You might not like this, but it is true. And it's just how society seems to be. And there's so much pressure, particularly for women, straight women who are looking, actually gay women, I guess, if they're looking to get a sperm donor or something. But there feels like a lot of pressure when you want to have a child.
Mm.
Not for me personally, because I'm not into that thing. But, you know, for women that want to have a baby, like it's a big thing, isn't it? Like you got to, biology says, unfortunately, you do kind of have to be of a certain age, and it is what it is. So that's where I think that pressure comes. So
But wouldn't you rather have it with the right person?
Huh?
The right person rather than fantasizing it with the wrong person.
Yeah,
I don't think we rushing with the wrong
person. But yeah, we don't know at the time. That's the thing. We think the right person. They're great. Yeah. And
I don't think people realize that they're rushing and fantasizing though. And I actually would say that it is very much a way that women are socialized, and I think it's more to do with the fact that we're socialized to that our relationship status is so much of our self-worth and how society views us, but also like women are socialized to be codependent, which is super convenient for me because it means that there's loads of
you've got work for life.
That's why she's going to be a millionaire by this time next year.
But Joe, I ask you, do you think that as women, a lot more women now, a lot more people, but definitely because we're talking about women specifically, are starting to do a lot more of the self-work, and obviously with the help of people like yourself, there's so many more women that are breaking away from that mold now. So maybe for the next generation, it could be completely different, possibly.
I think that they are doing the work earlier. Definitely, like 5 years ago, I don't think I had any clients over 35, and most of my clients were over 40. And now I get clients who are 21 plus.
Mm.
I get women who come into me in their like early 20s. So I think that but the thing with the codependency is, and obviously like not all women are codependent, but the issue with our society is that codependent traits are highly praised in our society. So that like fantasizing and that rushing that we do, that's why there's the myth of the U-Haul lesbian, or not the myth, or like the concept, the joke of the U-Haul lesbian, right?
What's the U-Haul lesbian?
Because two women together, and that's like fucking turbocharging, yeah, right?
A U-Haul lesbian is when, Phil's laughing at me, the joke is that they've got a dog, what does a lesbian move in like 2 months? Yeah. So the joke is, what does a lesbian bring to the second date? A U-Haul van, which is like a moving van.
Oh, got right. Okay, got it. Yeah, 100%.
I think it's a Lea Delaria joke, isn't it? Yeah, and there is, and like my gay friends will tell me yes, that is true. Like, lesbian couples do, and like, obviously broad strokes, but lesbian couples do tend to move much more quickly. Mm. And I think that's the reason, is like, we'll put two people who've been socialized to put so much of their self-worth in being validated together. Like, yeah, of course, it makes so much sense that they would push that forward so much more quickly. But the issue with the codependent traits is that they're set in before you individuate away from your family of origin. So as long as parents keep being dysfunctional and fucking up and fucking their kids up, you'll keep coming out with these codependent traits. But I think definitely everybody is seeing it so much sooner. Like, you go to college and university and you have access to therapy. Mm-hmm. That's not something that our parents had access to. So there's definitely so much more awareness of it, and so many more people actually doing the work.
More normalized over here now. If you look at, like, here from Australia and over there, everyone has got a therapist or a life coach or something, someone that they can turn to for guidance, advice, help. But then coming here, it didn't seem to be quite as popular, but now it seems to be becoming a lot more of a thing here, yeah, which I think is incredible. And I think it's such definitely mental health and guidance is such like an integral part of life, literally. Mm-hmm. And I think that it does play such a huge part in people being able to develop and sort of get on a better path, if you like.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry.
Have you got your advice now?
I just want to talk to Joe for like the next hour now. So,
I don't know if I can articulate it very well. This might just come out as like a brain dump.
Yeah.
So when we talk about relationships and dating, quite often we talk about head and heart, right? And the battle between your head and your heart, like, i.e. your head is like facts and what you know and what you think in it from a rational perspective. And your heart is like your feelings, right? Your emotion. But I kind of feel more like there's a trio, and it's not quite dating advice, but something that I really took from Glennon Doyle's book, Untamed, which is a great book, by the way.
I've heard of that.
Where she is talking about being, I can't think how she phrases it, something like being in the knowing. So basically tuning into your like inner guide, which you might call your gut, like your intuition. And so then you actually have this triad of decision making where you have your heart, quote unquote, your heart, which is the like very emotional, reactive, impassioned sort of bit. You have your head, which is the like rational ability to weigh up facts in an objective manner. But you actually have your intuition and your inner guide, which for me is actually probably the best way of making a decision. Because, for example, something that we talked about a bit earlier, say you've got somebody who is all the things you would be looking for quality wise from a person, right? So head says this is the right person. You have a lot of warmth and affection for them. And so your heart is like, yes, they feel, make me feel warm and squishy. But there's usually, in a lot of situations, you have this funny little gut rumbling where you're like, oh, I feel a bit odd about this, but I don't know why I feel odd about it. And then you try and work through it with your rational head and you're like, well, there's no rational reason why I feel odd about it. You try and work through it with your heart and you're like, well, no, I really like them and I feel warm and fluffy when I see them. What is it that I feel uneasy about? But actually, when you get into your intuition or your inner guide or whatever you want to call it, your gut, your instinct, something is telling you that something is wrong. And my whole life, when I look retrospectively on something, even though I couldn't admit it to myself or other people necessarily at the time, I have always known when something wasn't right. And I've always known when something's off, or because I feel it in my body and you have this intuitive sense that something is not working, but then you rationalize yourself out of it. Like, that's how I ended up getting married. Mm-hmm. I knew that I should not fucking get married before I got married because my intuition was screaming, don't fucking get married, you idiot. But in my head, I was like, well, this is a nice person and everything's paid for, so I should. In my heart, I was like, oh, I feel so guilty about disappointing everyone. And like, I sort of feel a sense of loyalty. And so in that setting, your head and your heart don't help you because they're both dickheads. Mm-hmm. And actually, you have to get into your intuition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my best dating advice
is listen to your gut.
Listen to your gut because your head and your heart are dickheads.
Yeah.
Okay. Bill, do you think men have gut instinct? Because.
Yes.
No, because.
Okay, I'll let you finish.
Me and my best friend, we always say it like it's gut instinct, it's gut instinct. And her husband is always like, there's no such thing. And we're like, there is. And I'm like, is this just a guy thing? Do guys not believe in gut instinct? And it's just us girls?
Definitely,
or?
Guys definitely have gut instincts.
Huh?
Guys have gut instincts. We do.
You listen to them? Literally... Or do you ignore them like we all do? Sorry, I'm speaking in general, Joe.
I mean,
I think Joe listen.
Now I tend to listen. Mm. Like, if you'd have asked me, a year ago, I'd have just gone, year plus ago, I'd have just gone, no, I've just, you know, upset stomach.
Yeah, <right. laughs>
just need to go sit on the toilet for sorry. Right.
Segment is called the 2020 Bin, basically the Modern Room 101. Each week we'll be asking our guest to chuck something they hate about dating in the 2020 bin and give us a reason why.
We're 2020 bin, really quickly, because I don't know whether it's coming back next season or not.
Might
so,
be the last 2020.
I want one thing off each of you, including Liz. What is going in the 2020 bin? Sorry to throw it on you, but I feel this is the best way. Who wants to go first? Raise your hands.
Go first. I've got one. I've got one. It's like a jet. It's probably quite. Oh, I don't know. It's quite specific to dating apps.
Go for it.
I heard on when you had Abby's Got Dating on, she actually had the one that I would have picked, which is for me. It does matter because I like a tall guy, but when they go. It's 6'1" as if that matters. Like, yes, it fucking does matter to me, but it might not matter to someone else. Sorry. But what I would chuck in the bin is on dating apps, when they have a question, if it's something like the best way to text me is texting me, or like the best way to do something is this, and they just give like such a like shit answer. And that it's the literal answer to what's being asked. Like the best way to asking me out is asking me out. And it's like, okay, Captain Obvious, come on. And it just, whenever I see that, and it's a very specific type of guy, I don't know if girls fit to be honest with you the other way around.
Yes.
That is what, do they? Yeah. See that for me, I'm like, you haven't thought about it. You're trying to be funny, but it's not funny. It's not witty. And I just like it. I saw it the other day and I was just like, come on, we've all taken the time. You do your bit for society. Okay.
Going in the bin?
Yeah.
Going in the bin. Danny, your turn.
I'm not going next. Joe and Liz are going next. I'm still thinking. Can you come on, I'm this far away.
I think Liz is still thinking as well.
No, I've got one.
No, Liz.
I've got one too. If you want, Liz.
I'm going to try and not go off on a Liz rant.
Short, sweet.
Going in the bin, please, is the traditional models of relationships, which we have mostly been taught what since we were little, which is man plus woman, fall in love, move in together, get engaged, get married, have some babies, fucking probably hate each other for the rest of their lives. I just feel like this 2021, we are just not there anymore. Unfortunately, we've all been socialized that is what is normal. And so it's very hard to break out of that. And I think what is really helpful is actually examining if that's what you actually want. Danny and I have had long conversations about how we absolutely do not want to bear children. And the idea of being pregnant fills me with absolute horror.
So it's the same. These three people.
Oh, yeah. Like,
hashtag trophophobics anonymous.
Don't grow an alien inside me. So sorry to everyone who's pregnant. I apologize for being rude. So I feel like in the bin needs to go these traditional relationship models that you have to follow. Because like at this point, I don't know if I ever want to live with somebody again. I fucking love living on my own with my cats. I don't even know if I want to move in with somebody ever. I don't know if I would want to get married. I think I don't want any kids. Like, and I feel like we're at a point now in time where people could just do relationships the way they want to do relationships or not do relationships. Like I've got a friend who's in her mid-40s. She's not in a relationship. She doesn't date. She's really happy. She's cool. She's got her own life. She's got her own things going on. Oh, okay. Phil's trying to make me wind up because I've actually gone off and around now. But yeah, because I think it will be easier for, this is my point. I think it will be easier to be authentic about who they are and what they want when we properly reject those traditional norms. Because for people who are non-binary, for people who are LGBTQIA+, it's very hard to be open about that because it feels like it's like against what you've been conditioned. Like I've been talking more openly recently about the fact that I definitely don't just like men. How is it that I've got to 35 before I feel like I can say that out loud? And so much of it is conditioning that of course I would meet a man and of course I would be with a man because that's just how things are. And it didn't help that I grew up in the church, which makes that much worse. But I feel like it's time to just properly go, relationships don't have to look like that. Relationships can look however you want. End of answer.
That can go.
In the bin.
Woo! That can go.
Love it.
In the bin. Jo?
Mine is inspired by Fee's answer and it is very specific. Very specific. So I want to put in the bin the answer to I quote too much from. And the answer is Friends.
The Office.
Friends.
Friends.
Peep Show.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Two reasons.
So many peep shows.
Two reasons. TV shows as a personality trait.
Boring.
Fuck off. Get a life. Also, okay, three reasons. Stop ruining Peep Show. Peep Show was good, but straight men on dating apps have ruined Peep Show.
Yeah.
Fuck off. And three, if one more fucking person says to me, are you a life coach like Jez off of Peep Show? I am literally going to fucking hunt them down and stab them in the eye with a butter knife.
Just arrange a date so you can do that. Just
yeah. I'm not even going to arrange a date. I'm just going to find them. I'm going to track them. Like, oh, God. I'm like, oh, it's so fucking bad. It's like, no, I just write life coach because I know you don't know what codependency means. So I'm trying to make it easy for you. Don't be a twat about it. Don't compare me to somebody who got a certificate off of Groupon on a fake telly show. Like, yeah. It's just, you know what? It's not a great start in line. And don't ruin a great TV show. Because the fact that I know that you all love Peep Show so much that you're trying to make it your personality on a dating app makes me think it's shit, and it isn't.
Don't ruin Peep Show for everybody. So it's Peep Show. For me, what I noticed was Peep Show, The Office, and Anchorman.
Friends. Yeah. That's one that... that's one that women use a lot. They put, I quote from Friends. And I'm just like...
Well, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is also another one that people like to quote from.
Yeah, going in the bin.
Similar shows,
Name of my sex tape. Which is quite funny, I know you say that. I would not make it my fucking personality on a dating app. I'm just going to throw that one out at you and let you enjoy it in real time.
Danny.
Okay,
Danny.
For me, going in the 2020 bin would have to be people seeing divorce as failure because I think...
Yes.
That's a huge one.
Right on.
Bravo. I agree. Almost flashed my
tip. Hey!
If you look at the three divorced people.
The three divorced,
Your tits out for divorce.
She was thinking about it, people. She was.
I was. Don't tempt me, Jen.
People see it as like such a, like they do see it as a failure. It's like the stigma around it. But actually, when you look at divorce stats, the countries with the highest divorce stats are the countries with the most independent women who earn well, they can support themselves. And actually, when you look at it, these are just women who were in a relationship, it wasn't working out, and they thought, I can just run this shit on my own. I can check out and it's okay. Mm-hmm. That's not failure. Or men, sorry, I always talk from a woman's point of view, but I mean, obviously I'm a woman. So, but you know, people sort of, there's so much stigma around it. And I just don't think there should be. I just think it's just brave and it's just strong and it just shows that you're not. You just think, I'm checking out of this shit. I don't need to be here anymore and I don't need someone else to be able to carry my life with me. I'm more than capable of doing that on my own. So I think that should go.
Oh yeah. I feel like I need to do some clips.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
So I think from the three divorced people in here, we should just put it in the bin.
100%. Yeah.
2020
bin.
2020 bin. Well, since it's the last one and it's the last thing, I just want to put like society in the bin, if that's okay, because fuck society. Fuck the patriarchy. Just put it all in the fucking bin.
Yes.
Close the lid. Start again.
What about that shaver that nicked your balls? Are you going to put that in? Yeah.
That went in the bin a long time ago. Oh, okay.
The literal bin.
That was like 2017 bin.
That was, yeah. So, yeah, that was the last episode, last part of 2020 bin.
Back to the questions.
Where am I? Who are you people?
This is the final instalment of guest questions, so sit back, relax, and find out what else we've got to ask.
So for the start of season two, everybody, we're going to have an all-male panel come on and chat about...
I'm
going to
be outnumbered. Joe's laughing at me doing a stupid impression of somebody doing a stupid walk. Are the all-male panel going to like make fun of women and I'm going to feel outnumbered?
I don't know, maybe.
That's going to bring out my angry feminist.
Somebody did mention that we... That's one more thing that I want to bring up. About the fact that we talk about issues with men and... not women. And I said, well, men tend to be the dickheads on dating apps. But I think, so we tend to categorize men with sending dick pics. We tend to, and
terrible chat up lines
and how they are and everything like that. Is there an equivalent side for women?
Yeah.
Well, you tell us, Phil, because you're on the receiving end of it. We speak about it from our experience of like receiving that bullshit, but I don't, I mean, like I have like opened up my dating apps to women, but what I've just found more so is that they're just super shy and I just can't connect with anyone and it's really hard to talk to them. So I'm not getting like dickery. I'm just getting nothing. Cricket.
I feel that women, well, from my experience, play games a lot more. Where they will tell you something and want you to do the exact opposite to it. Yeah. Like,
example,
not being open.
Do we have to go through this?
Okay, potted version. There was a girl that Phil was talking to or seeing. She said, let's call it. He said, yeah, fine. And then she was furious and went on this like mad vendetta against
Phil.
That
was weird.
She was fine about her calling it off. So it seems like what she wanted when she said she was calling it off was for him to go, oh, no, don't
fight for her.
Which he didn't do because he's a normal human being and he knows that no means no, right?
Yeah.
But I think the equivalent is that women are like aloof and hard to get much from. And there's this sense that the man is continually trying to provide the entertainment and win the woman over. And the woman, we talked about this the other day because we've talked about a date interview before, which is like a date that feels like an interview. And I messaged Phil and was like, is there equivalent when it doesn't feel like an interview, but it feels like an audition? Like you're having to like try and prove yourself to somebody and they're like standing there with their arms crossed like, oh, well, I don't know if I'm interested. And you're constantly feeling like you're being assessed. I think it's that often with men and women where the man is expected to put in the effort and the woman is kind of stonewalling a bit or is like the decider, whereas the man is the trier and the woman is the decider. And that's what I've found with women in my limited experience with women is that there's always kind of a bit of a playing hard to get or like an aloof vibe, which is a bit hard to make any progress.
Yeah. I think I was going to say for the, well, I don't know, I can be incredibly toxic on dating apps. I know that for sure. But I think that with whenever I'm aloof, it's probably because I'm not as interested. I think, well, I find it really, well, this is really personal. I find it really hard to play hard to get because I'm not, I'm a like very like emotional person. So if I like someone, I'm making sure that they know that I like them. God's word, I'm still single. But I think that if someone is being super aloof, especially a girl, it's probably because they're not as interested as they think. I don't think girls can play hard to get with someone that they really like or are really interested in. If you look at my dating app, my messages, all the guys I'm interested in, I've had like quite a lot of conversation. And then you have the ones that I'm like, kind of saving for a rainy day, like a can of baked beans. And the conversation is very stalled and you can see them trying. And I'm like, yeah. So I think I think that it can definitely with specifically dating apps, because you can be like that, because like Phil said, they're strangers to you.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's also an element that some people take a bit of time to warm up.
Exactly.
Kind of like the idea of growers and showmen.
Yeah, exactly.
Like some people are like immediately very vivacious and charming and charismatic and good at having conversations and winning you over. And they're great. And I've dated some of them. Unfortunately, they're fucking assholes because they're really good at charming people and that's how they manipulate people. And then you've got other people who maybe aren't so great at charming people and being really charismatic because maybe they're a bit shy, they're a bit more reserved, or actually they have very healthy traits of not putting everything out there straight away, and that's actually really healthy. And it kind of relates to a post that you put up recently about the kind of good guys, and sometimes the people who are genuinely good people and would make good partners just don't have that chat, because most of the people that do have that chat are fuckboys.
Exactly.
And that's why they've got the chat.
Or
ex-fuckboys, exactly.
Sorry, Liz, to cut you off. Keep going if you want to. I just wanted to ask Phil if that, like, so you shared that one experience. I mean, that girl to me is not, or that woman is not playing hard to get. Like, that's just some silly psychological game.
Yeah.
And when we discussed that, it was like, don't play a game that you're not willing to lose.
Yeah, 100%.
It's really fucking stupid. Yeah. Like, you just need to back away from that and be like, oh dear. But is that a common experience that you have? Or was that just like one?
I've had it person? 2-4 times maybe in the past. That kind of experience where somebody says something and then all of a sudden they expect an answer off me and I've gone, okay, that's fine. Whatever you say, I, you know, completely respect your decision. And they've all already gone like, oh, well, can't we be friends? Can't we do this? And like they're almost trying to win back and come back into the situation of dating.
Yeah, and it shows how used to dysfunctional relationships people are, that they expect it to play out a certain way. And when it doesn't, they then try and create a dysfunctional situation by trying to like win you back. Maybe that's something that they're more used to. Oh man, it's just so fucked up, isn't
it? I think that's very normal. Like, I think that, I mean, definitely the... all the times I'm like the queen of the resurrection. Like whenever like I end something with someone, they will always come back. I can almost time it to the day that they're going to come back. And it's usually when like something's ended and I've been quite calm about it and be like, oh, no worries. That's totally fine. Like, thanks so much. Take care. And they haven't had the reaction that they probably thought they were going to have. And it makes them think, what? And I think it's for both ways, men and women, that it can happen. And I will always make sure that my reaction is, yeah, no worries. And then I'll like shut the phone down and be like, oh my God, why does no one love me?
Okay. See, I don't do that. I was a bit like, I said to Liz, I was like,
you genuinely screenshot these
messages
care.
I would be like, and sent them over to her like, we got to call a lawyer.
I mean, we nearly had to call a lawyer.
Time, honestly.
We might still.
Duh.
This segment is called Final Thoughts. Basically, we take a look back at the episode and we each pick something that we'll take away from it or something that we have learned. Right, instead of Final Thoughts, we're just going to ask what your favourite episode was and favourite moment. Okay, Fee, you first.
I'm going to be really bad, and I actually don't know which one it is. I can't tell you the number.
Tell me what it is, but I will tell you.
But it was one of your earlier ones, and I think it was about, it was named Baggage.
What the actual fuck is Baggage?
What the actual fuck is Baggage? Episode three, it was early on.
Yep.
I loved that episode because it was just you guys, and I learned a lot because I've never had a problem with a guy I'm speaking to having kids or divorce or anything like that. Like, it's never been an issue for me, but I know that a lot of people that are dating can have issues with it. And the way you explained it about that it's not baggage, it's a life experience, I've really taken that on. And I've really it really struck a chord with me, because I agreed with you so much about it. And I thought it was such a beautiful episode. And I think that because I'm in my 30s, you meet people that have had so much more life experience now. And I think that everyone needs to listen to that episode if they are starting to date in their 30s, because we need to be more accepting. Like what Danny said, chucking divorce in the bin as a failure, because it just is not at all.
Yeah. Thank you. Who wants to go next?
I was just looking at the name of it.
Yep.
I really liked another one that was just the two of you. Fix up, look sharp. Who pays the bill? Where do we go? Dating etiquette. It was just such a good conversation. And there were so many great points brought up. And like, I think so many of those like little things that are assumed because of like these heteronormative ideas that we have of relationships, or that have been pushed on us, when actually that's maybe not how we really feel, or that's not really what make people feel comfortable. And like, really just like loved both of your views on like dating etiquette. And I was like, oh, it's such a refreshing conversation to have instead of these assumed ideas about what dating looks like.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Awesome. Danny?
You know which one it is for me all day long, because it just made my ex not seem anywhere near as unreasonable anymore. And it had to be the nose hair. So I'm just trying to look now.
Know your worth.
Know your worth.
And also, you messaged me saying about when Liz hit the nail on the head about, what was it? Your voice.
I've had a couple of glasses of wine. Well, I've had like nearly a bottle of wine now. So my
memory. So basically, Liz hit the nail on the head.
Did Liz say? Because I liked it. I know that.
I've said many clever things.
Said many.
Just often hit the nail on the head. I do often do that.
What was it? Because I want to know so that I can, take my own advice.
Right. What was your favorite? And then I'll think about this.
What was my favorite?
That's going to drive me mad now.
I think the know your worth. No, it's a tie up for me between the know your worth episode and the dating etiquette one, because you know what? I love having guests. Like, I really love having guests because I love how each of our guests brings something new and unique and a new perspective of looking at things. Like that episode we did with Joe just blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, I feel so called out. We love having guests, but I think there is something, particularly because we just started this podcast together 3 months ago. It's still really new. Before we started the podcast, we didn't know each other at all.
Mm.
Like, literally before you interviewed me in episode one, we didn't know each other. We were strangers.
That story before that.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Liz's blog.
So I feel like the episodes that we have recorded just together, where we've really kind of gone into a topic in depth, have really helped me get to know you as a co-host and actually as a really good friend, because I'm just really interested in hearing your opinions about things.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound all like gushy and make things awkward, but actually I really value hearing what you think about things, and I really value sometimes you challenge your viewpoint, or you challenge some assumptions I have, or you give me a new way of looking at something, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's really smart. And we do that with each other now in like normal life. We'll all voice note each other or sense check something or be like, hey, this is going on, what do you think? And I feel like the episodes that we recorded together have been the real sort of glue or the real mechanisms which have helped us get to know each other in that way. You get a bit of most.
A little bit.
A little tiny bit of most.
Like a tequila and lemonade.
Could be the tequila. Could be the tequila. What's yours?
Mine. The episode about mental health. Because that was really hard to record, and I had to do it on my own. But the amount of messages that I got after that from people just saying, do you know what, like, I've been through it, thank you for this, this has really helped. And the fact that, you know, we got Wayne on, because he hasn't had a mention this episode, and he needs one. I think we both opened up about our mental health on there, and
very fucking just, vulnerable.
Yeah, it just showed everybody that listened that listen, we may be on like your freaking phone or your car radio or whatever, but we are two normal people that live through normal shit all the time, and yeah, we've had experiences, and do you know what, we've grown from it. And yeah, that's the thing, like 3 months on and how different we probably are from when we started.
How sexy is a vulnerable man though? There's nothing sexier.
Tell all the people that swipe left on me.
I hate them all.
You should wear like a t-shirt that says hate like, them all. Sexy vulnerable guy.
Vulnerable is sexy.
I just need a one that doesn't say I do a dating podcast, because that doesn't get me anywhere.
Well, I tell people now, I'm like, yeah, I've got a sex podcast, and it opens up a can of worms with guys. They just like a Pandora's box, and they're telling me all their kinks. It's great. I've got so much content now.
You just need to change one of the words on your description then of our podcast.
Well, to a sex podcast.
You'll get different type of messages.
Definitely. Right. I think we've kept these lovely people long enough. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming on the show, for coming on this show, for all the voice notes, for all the messages, for all the keeping me sane throughout like this lockdown and this experience, because you guys are amazing. And
we've learned a lot from each of you, and that's why we have invited you to have you on, because we like super value you guys and your input and your input.
Oh, yeah. Thanks guys. We value you too.
We love you.
Yeah.
We love you. Hi emoji. Not horny devil.
No,
but we will be sharing everyone's frequently used emoji on Instagram when this comes out on the Monday. And this is our season finale. We are away for 5 weeks, but we have something else planned called the dating panel, which these lovely people agreed a while ago that they'll be part of. I don't know whether that still goes or not.
After today, they're like, no.
They're like, no, I can't give up like 5 hours of my time each week. But yeah, we will tell you more about that. Basically, it's something fun, new, exciting, and it won't be out until September time. So we are probably going to run that on a Friday, but we will be doing a lot of promo about that. What other promo are we doing over our 6 weeks breaks?
Oh, we're doing some awesome promo for podcasting studio.
Yep, we've got a podcast festival coming up down in London.
Yeah, loads of exciting stuff on. So yeah. September, you can look forward to season two and our new venture, the dating panel. But also, you know, we have really enjoyed being guests on other podcasts. So keep your eyes peeled, because we'll be popping up all over the place on other guest appearances.
Yep. All over the place. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening. And I am going to take it at this amount of time that basically, by the time this episode comes out, I'm guessing we'll be at 5,000 downloads. So.
I think we will.
There we go.
Party, party.
So, yeah, there we go. We're going to eat cake now.
We're going
to
eat some cake.
And say goodbye to everybody. So,
and that is that. Season one completed. It has been a fun journey. Like, at the start of this, I thought I'd be all on my own. Just me, just guess, but I am so, so, so glad that Liz decided to be co-host, because she really made it what it is. Like, with me, just bumble around, a bit unhinged, you know. But I want to take this time to thank Liz, because she has been absolutely amazing throughout all of this, through dealing with the voice notes that I send, the messages that I send, they're like, hey, you're free here, you're free there, can you do this, can we do that? And yeah, it's been a fun journey, and I couldn't have done it without her. So I want to say a massive, massive thank you to her for everything she's done and giving up her time to be a part of what was my dream, and we both made it a reality. So, season two. And this is that really awkward moment where British people are really, really bad with it. We are still keeping everything exactly how it is. So if you're listening on Apple, you're listening on Spotify, you're listening wherever, that is amazing. Like, that is great. We will still keep it on here absolutely free of charge, you know, exactly as it is for now. But what we have decided to do, we have decided each episode, we cut out a lot. We cut out quite a bit. So we're going to have some bonus content. And we're going to do that through Patreon. Now, we tried to keep costs really, really, really low for everybody out there, because we know money's tight and we don't like asking for anything. this message is so awkward. So if you want the bonus content, then you can sign up for that in season two. Don't do it yet, because it's a monthly subscription and we're away for 5 weeks, so don't do that yet. Now, we also are doing video on season two. So that is a level up, a tier up on Patreon, and it's just a little bit more per month. Now, anyone that can't afford this or doesn't want to, don't worry, you don't have to. Like I say, it'll always be free on here. But if you want to show your support, we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee. Now, those details are all on our website. And what Buy Me a Coffee is, where you can just do a one-off payment. And we've started as little as a pound. That is the smallest we can go. And if you want to donate a pound to us, you can. You know, it helps us in every way, shape, or form. Because the thing with the podcast is, each month it costs us money to do. But we enjoy it. We enjoy it. So that's the thing. We enjoy putting out this content. We enjoy listeners. We enjoy the feedback. So this is why we're making optional, whether you want to pay for extras, whether you want to get a bit more out of it, or whether you just want to stay how it is. And whatever your choice, whatever your decision, you know what? It's amazing by us, because listening to us is enough. You know, we will continue to pay whatever it costs to make this podcast, if it helps people. Again, if you're listening on Apple, then there is the little review, 5 stars. And then if you write a review as well, that is even more amazing, and it gets seen by so many more people. If you think somebody that you know would like this podcast, or if you've really enjoyed it, just pass it around, let a few people know about it, because they've got a lot of catching up to do over this off season. And what else is there to say? Yeah, season two, we've got some amazing guests lined up. that's one of the things. And also, again, just thank you. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to all our guests. They have all been absolutely amazing in bringing this to life, to this idea that, 18, 19 weeks ago now, didn't even exist. So I want to thank everybody for taking their time, everybody for, you know, just coming on and going, do you know what? I like this idea. Let's go with it. I really want to be on this, without going, oh, how much are you going to pay me? We really are an amazing community with the dating community that we're in, where people just want to be on. You know, people know how much hard work and effort go in, and like, yeah, of course I'll be a part of that. And anyway, I thought for the final bit, we would get a special goodbye from someone whom I love with all of my heart, and he just brings me happiness and joy and, you know, just everything. And no, it's not Wayne. Now, here he is, just to say one final goodbye.
Bye bye
everyone. Thank you for listening. Say it.
I can't.
Yeah, you can. Say bye bye everyone.
Bye bye everyone.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.